Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. It was John Wesley who said, "Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can." Some people have the gift of giving. When it comes to a generous spirit that reaches beyond material things, I guess I could describe it this way. For some people, God has supernaturally chosen to give them very big hearts. Big in the sense of capacity. Big capacity. To love others in ways that surpass ordinary expectations. Our guest today is one of those individuals. As usual, as we begin our show, I like to pause, as is our customary fashion, just for a moment, to remind you that the reason we have this show, the reason my guest is here today, and we're here with you, even so, the reason why you're listening, is to remind you how much God loves you and that He knows you, and to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. No matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult a trial may seem to be, how you may at times, perhaps even now, feel like your back is against the wall, so to speak, there is always hope. Hope through Jesus Christ. Pastor Jim White has lived in Hawaii since 1983. He graduated from Waiakea High School and also graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa as a theater major. He received his Master of Divinity degree from Drew Theological Seminary, and he was ordained in the United Methodist Church in 1997. Before he came to the church that he is presently pastoring, Aiea United Methodist Church, where he came to be the pastor of that church in the year 2000, their centennial anniversary year. He served at churches in Honolulu and Hilo. He is a happily married man, married to Jody. They have a son and daughter. Their son's name is Ezra, and Ezra is almost 16 years old. Their daughter is Emily, and Emily is almost 13. And we want to give a shout out to Emily. They also have a dog. And his interests include anything. He's a sportsman. He's a musician. Jim and Jody, they share their vocal, instrumental talents with their congregation. And he has a favorite scripture verse, which you'll find is why he has such a childlike heart. And you know, that unique combination of spiritual maturity and childlikeness is a much to be desired quality which he possesses. And he is our guest today, Pastor Jim White of Aiea United Methodist Church. Pastor Jim, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Pastor, Tell us, you know, I mentioned Waiakea. You know, you grew up in Waiakea, but tell us a little bit more. There's a lot more to it than that, so why don't you give us some of the background?
Right. Well, we didn't get to the Big Island until I was in my starting my sophomore year of high school. I grew up on the mainland. My father worked for the National Park Service. In fact, he grew up in Montana, and one of his first summer jobs was working at Yellowstone National Park. But I was born when my dad was in the Washington, D.C. area at Manassas Battlefield, and lived there for less than a year. We moved to Wyoming, and he was at Fort Laramie, historical site there. But it was really when we moved to Arizona, I was just about to start kindergarten. That's where most of my memories of my childhood come back. So it was a great place. Loved living in Arizona. Hot. Everybody's got to have swimming pools and air conditioning to survive. But looking back now, so much of who I am was formed out of my time, the 11 years that I lived there in Scottsdale, Arizona.
In Arizona. What was it like in Arizona?
Well, you know, I was only like, what, five and a half when we first moved there. I remember one of my earliest memories, my dad and my mom were looking for a new church. We'd gone to a Baptist church in Wyoming. And so I remember them saying that myself and my brother, who was 3 years younger, so he's only like three or so, we could vote on the church we wanted. And we were trying different congregations. And we ended up choosing the church, First Baptist Church, Scottsdale, Arizona. And I voted for it because it had the best playground. Something to look for when you're a kid, you know? Places to climb, stuff to do.
Something for church leadership to consider.
There you go. You know, you never know what's going to bring families in.
Right.
But it was actually a wonderful congregation. It was a large church. I didn't think of it as large at the time, but looking back, my parents were involved in the Sunday school class that their class itself had like 60 people in there. But there was a small group of couples, maybe about a dozen or 15 couples, and all of the kids, we would always get together all throughout the year. And it was really, I mean, that was our sort of church within a church.
Yeah.
And especially when we underwent a really difficult time in our family, that Sunday school class was there for us. My in between my kindergarten and first grade year, I remember you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She had actually had been a horse rider. She had been a basketball player. She was a basketball coach. At one point, her degree was in library studies, and she had been a librarian. And I remember that she had, you know, gone out. We had spent a whole day shopping, and I hated shopping as a kid. And we got almost back home, and she said, "Oh, I forgot there was one other thing I wanted to do." And I'm like, "No, my brother, we don't want to go anymore. Take us home." So she's like, "All right, well, I'll go tomorrow." And the next day was a Saturday, and I remember being home. And so my dad was staying home with us, my brother and I, and we got a call sometime, I guess it was the middle of the day. I don't really remember, but I remember my dad taking us immediately over to some friend's house from church. And what I didn't know at the time was that my mom had been involved in a very serious car accident. She had one of those Volkswagen Bugs, you know, the red ones, and she had been stopped at a traffic light, and someone had who had been drinking and actually was in the country illegally and was borrowing someone's car, crashed into someone who crashed into someone who hit the back of my mom's car, and she her car was propelled right into a telephone pole that was on the side. And my dad said later that, you know, when the ambulance came and they pulled her out, and, you know, there's no protection in a Volkswagen Bug, right?
Especially back then.
Yeah, they took her to the hospital and had, I don't know, three or so hours of trying to operate on her, but she had almost, I think, all but two of her ribs were broken, and so many internal injuries that she did not survive the accident. And so I remember my dad, you know, coming over to see us that evening and trying to explain. I was what, six or so, to me and my brother, that, you know, mom wasn't going to come home anymore. So it was a difficult time, but I think, you know, I was at the age where I was trying to be a big boy. You know, I'd started off school, and I was, you know, wanting to be mature and old and that sort of thing. So I guess I had the sort of stiff upper lip. And
was your brother older or younger?
No, my brother's 3 years younger. So he was very...
More so.
Yeah, very much still mama's boy. And mm-hmm. So it was very, very difficult time. But the thing that really got us through was my parents' Sunday school class, which was an extension of the church. And so, you know, of course, they were there. I mean, I was there at a church member's house that day, you know, right, that my dad had taken me there. But they came over and they would bring us meals and they would spend time with us. They would take my brother and I out to do stuff fun so that my dad could have some time by himself. And you know, looking back now, I'm a church leader now, but so much of what I've come to understand the church to be when we do it well was formed in that time, in that the aftermath of my mom's death and the love and the fellowship, and here we'd say Ohana, that really just helped get us through what could have been just incredibly damaging to our family. And interesting story, you know, my mother, who was an athlete, loved to golf.
What was your mom's name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Sylvia. Sylvia White. And she loved to golf. And in fact, she golfed with a variety of different people. But one of the people that she golfed with was an older lady named Kay. And she loved golfing with Kay because Kay always had the greatest clothes. Mm-hmm. And Kay would say, oh, my daughter Pat made them for me. And so my mom was like, well, maybe she could make me something, you know, hook me up or something. And so when my mom died and different people were coming by, Kay and her daughter Pat came over to the house to give, you know, share their condolences and pay their respects and just see how my dad's doing. And they saw the fellowship of the church that was there supporting us. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was about a week or so later that Pat called my dad just to say, you know, I was so touched by what I saw there. I'd love to talk a little bit more about your faith and your church. And Pat had actually grown up in the Catholic Church. She had been a nun at one point. She also had been a basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the next few months, my dad and Pat talked and got together. And within 1 year, my dad had proposed. She wasn't a nun anymore, of course. So the whole engaged thing was allowed, but and so a little over a year after my mom died, I was blessed with another mom, and so I've always grown up with a mom. And I don't really think of, even though Pat is technically my stepmom, that was never part of my vocabulary, and so that was just a wonderful sort of, you know, God's hand through, even in the midst of tragedy. I always, always believe that God may not cause everything that happens in the world to us, but that no matter what happens to us, God can turn something good out of that. And we may not see it right away. I mean, this was a pretty fast turnaround within 1 year. But that God can always take whatever struggles and tragedies and difficulties we're going through and turn it into something good down the road.
You know, Jim is sitting in studio, and he has a shirt on, and the shirt says has a one word on it, and it says one big word on it. It says shine, and it's actually from the scripture verse Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, let your light shine. And today, the light of God's hope is shining. Through these radio waves, through the internet, streaming live, through people who are listening via our website. But the light of God's love and grace is shining on you through the life of Pastor Jim White, as he has shared a very gripping story right out of his childhood. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Pastor Jim. In many ways, we're sort of just getting started. He is a wellspring of depth, life, hope, because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given him hope and strength and who will give you hope and strength, whatever may be happening, wherever you may be. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Show. I'm here with our featured guest today, a dear friend of mine, Pastor Jim White. Pastor Jim is the senior pastor of Aiea United Methodist Church, a church that is historic. It's 110 years old, Pastor Jim.
Yes, it is.
You know, a program like the Good Life Hawaii wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for some very generous donors like Wahiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Burt's Union on School Street, dentist Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. A big mahalo to our sponsors. And also, just a reminder that the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is also a listener-supported radio show. And your partnership, your donations are very much welcomed and appreciated. You can send your donation to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and send it to P.O. Box 700998. Kapolei, Hawaii, 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii, 96709. Pastor Jim, you're in Arizona, 6 years old. Your mother is dramatically taken. The Lord smooths what would be a very damaging, as you said, devastating situation, which certainly doesn't diminish it in any way. But the grace of God is shown in your life for you, your brother, your dad. But you're in Arizona, your dad's National Park Ranger. Mm-hmm. But we know you eventually ended up back in Hawaii. Tell us a little bit of how that transpired.
Well, we lived in Arizona for 11 years. My dad basically was helping with any national park in the desert Southwest that wasn't the Grand Canyon. Mm. He had a downtown office, so he didn't work in a particular park. But he moved around and helped with a lot of in the region. So we were there for 11 years, elementary school. The school that I went to was K through 8th grade, had a freshman year in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then my dad got transferred to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park on the Big Island. And so we moved over there right around the beginning of my sophomore year from high school. Never, ever, ever dreamed that I'd ever visit Hawaii, let alone actually get to live there. So that's eventually how we made it to the islands after 11 years in Arizona.
Now, at what point now you're connected to a church, very closely connected to a church in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your spiritual life. How did that develop? How did you become a Christian?
Well, how I became a Christian would have to go back to my ancestors. I mean, I grew up out of a family that has loved the Lord for generations.
Hmm.
And I was honored to have known, you know, my grandparents, who both had a very strong faith on my dad's side, my mom's side as well. They're the very faithful family, my aunties and my uncle also on the East Coast, still very, very much grounded in their faith and in churches.
Hmm.
So really, it was like I sort of, I mean, people talk about you can't be born into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that's true. I mean, each person's relationship with God has to be their own. But it was so easy for me to fall in love with God because of the family. And so we were there at that wonderful church, First Baptist Church, Scottsdale. And I remember, you know, wonderful children's program. But really where things took off for me was junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if it was fourth or fifth grade, but they had this thing called junior discipleship class. And basically it was if you were thinking, it was to help you understand a little bit more deeply what it means to have a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not enough to just say, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus, but it really kind of looked at, when you're saying that, what does it mean? How can you live that out? And what does it mean to belong to this particular church and to the church universal? So my dad was actually the teacher of the junior discipleship class. So I figured, oh, easy AF, my dad's teaching. No, it was fourth or fifth grade, and I remember thinking that, you know, I think I'm ready now. I think I want to know a little bit more. And so I went through the class. It was, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 weeks, you know, Sunday mornings long. I can't remember exactly. And so we got to the end of the class, and when the class is over, the class is over. And in the church that I grew up in, every Sunday they had, the pastor would give a, you know, altar call during the last hymn. And so anybody that wanted to give their life to God would come forward. Or if you, maybe something new had happened in your life, you want to rededicate it. So the class had finished, it was at the end of the time. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so now's the time I got to go forward. I finished the class and graduated. Now I got to go ahead and do this thing. My dad was singing in the choir, so he's sitting in a separate part of the church. I'm sitting with my mom, Pat, right, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And gets to the final hymn, and the pastor gives the dramatic altar call, and we're singing the song, whatever it is. And I look up to my mom, and I say, so do you think I should go forward now? And I knew this was going to be one of those Hallmark Kodak moments, you know, with I could almost see the tear coming out of my mom's eye, and I expected her to say something like, yes, son, go and become a Christian, you know, and break down and all this. And what she actually said was, if you got to ask me, I think the answer is no.
Hmm.
I couldn't believe it. My mom didn't want me to be a Christian. I was so mad for the entire week. I was so upset with my mother. Until by the end of the week, I kind of figured out, well, maybe it's something I shouldn't have to ask my mom permission for. And it was really something that I did want to do. And so the following Sunday, I didn't even ask her. I just went forward because I knew. And And, you know, you can grow up in a church, you grow up in a family that loves God, grow up in a church, but really there's always going to be those moments where you have to make that decision. And maybe you're not in a church where you come forward and it's a public sort of thing, but there has to be those moments where you in your heart have just said to God, you know what, it's all yours. It's all yours now, and I love you. And I was still elementary school, but to the best of my heart, I was giving over to God. So I had a wonderful junior high youth group, and my youth pastor, David Reed, was very influential in my life. In fact, came into play later when I felt called to ministry. So I feel really blessed that I had such a strong Christian church family to be nurtured in and grow up in Arizona.
So, you know, I think it's very, a couple of things really touch me when you mention about your ancestors. I mean, the heritage that from whence you come, you know. A lot of times people may become Christians as part of, that's the first generation in their family that becomes a Christian, and then they have children, and that's pushing forward into the next 2-3 generations.
Right.
And they will become beneficiaries of the spiritual guidance, the life of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, living to a life that's surrendered to God, living through a person like that, Christ alive in the life of that family. And then, you know, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, through the everyday life experiences, they become beneficiaries. But you came through a lineage of previously very dedicated followers. And, you know, just from a personal standpoint, I mean, there's certain intangible things that just because I've known you through the years, over the years, it's very, very rich that this character, the stability, the anchor that you have. And when you mentioned that, it really stood out to me. And I would like to have that for, you know, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. You know, my father was the first in his family to become a Christian, coming from a Buddhist background. And then it's me, and same with my wife.
And, you know, throughout the Bible, there is that sense of, you know, in the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and other times even in the book of Acts where the apostles are sort of recounting the lineage of the church and how the faith has been passed down
through the
generations. And it may not all be blood related, but through the story of the people of God. And what a privilege to be a part, just to be a link in the chain of God's legacy through families.
You know, I was thinking, you know, one thing that really stood out, you know, Pastor Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church. I mean, his book, New York Times bestseller. I mean, it's just busting the charts. But here's a pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, right? His dad was a pastor. His dad's dad was a pastor. His dad's dad was a pastor. And I think it goes on like several generations back. And so the millions and millions of people who benefit from whatever, you know, has matriculated out of his life comes not just from him, but out of the lives that have lived centuries before.
And, you know? And maybe we can talk about it a little bit later, but there were no pastors in my family background.
You're the first.
And I never, ever considered that growing
up.
Well,
that's why I want to talk about your calling. How were you called? Now, you made this decision. You were, what, fourth grade?
Something
at
like
the
that,
time,
yeah.
Right? But how did you receive God's call? When we come back from our break, I'd like for you to share that with us. Because it's always interesting, Pastor Jim, how God maneuvers his way in his marvelous and miraculous way.
And bizarre, I'll tell you that.
Into our lives. Because, you know, somebody listening today may be asking that same question. How is God moving in my life today? Well, I think we can say rest assured, He is moving.
Amen.
You may not necessarily see it, but He is. Stay with us. You'll hear more from Pastor Jim White. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group, Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I want to reiterate, the goodlifehawaii.org, that is a place to go to access more programs like the program you're hearing with Pastor Jim White. There are others on there right now. Past shows, we have archives you can look at of different topics. Military, could be politics, could be entertainment, could be sports. And, you know, I really want to remind you that you can use it as a tool to reach out to a family member or a friend who might not even know the Lord or may not even really be interested, but they are interested in some of the people that we have, high-level business people, very successful people who have come through and come back from some very difficult situations, and it'd be an inspiration to them. It's a way to connect people to the Lord, but they can do so by, they might even know somebody that's on our show, and that's your way to connect them. So send them the link, or send them to thegoodlifehawaii.org. And of course, for me, you know, I'm always looking forward to receiving email. You can email me at danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org, or you can even go to, reach me via Facebook. I'd love to hear from you then. And prayer requests, send the prayer requests in. We pray for them over the air, and keep us posted. Here's another thing. We've got a resources section, and one of my co-hosts, Leslie Silva, has been writing some devotionals that people have been gaining greatly from, great encouragement from that. You can just hit the resources tab at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Well, I'm here with my dear friend, Pastor Jim White of Aiea United Methodist Church. Amazing story of how God has worked in and through his life. He shared with us at the age of, while he was in fourth grade, he became a Christian through the Methodist Church there in Arizona. But I was wondering, Pastor Jim, if you could share with us about your call to the ministry.
Yeah, actually in Arizona, it was an American Baptist church that we were part of. We moved to Hawaii the start of my sophomore year. My dad was stationed at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, lived mm-hmm. in actual park housing and 30 miles drive down to high school at Waikea. We started looking around at different churches and couldn't find one with a good playground. No, we had a hard time finding where our
playground home, evangelism.
Right. You know, because it's really important for sophomores in high school to have good recreation. No, it took us a while. It was Easter the following year. So Easter of my sophomore year in high school that our family decided, let's go to the Methodist church. And now my dad had grown up in the Methodist tradition.
Okay.
My mom had grown up, my birth mom had grown up in the Baptist tradition, and that's how we found the Baptist church in
mm-hmm.
Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The particular strain of baptism that we were part of, American Baptist, there were no American Baptist churches in Hilo, so we were looking all over. We eventually settled upon the Methodist church. The pastor there was just a tremendous preacher. Mm-hmm. It was a small congregation. They didn't have much of a youth group. That was the one drawback why we didn't go there in the beginning. We were hoping to find something a little bit bigger. But my parents really felt led there to hear the message that the pastor was preaching. So that became my home church. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I always grew up with God and church being a part of my life, but never ever thought about becoming a pastor. I mean, I respected pastors. They were influential in my life, but come on, let's face it, right? Who wants to have a pastor hanging around with them, right? You can't tell the good jokes. You can't go to the places that you want to go. So uh-huh. that was never on my radar screen. And so summer of my junior and senior years, I'm thinking about where I'm going to go to school for college. We didn't have a lot of money. I knew I was going to have to get scholarships or whatever. And I loved the ocean. And one of my teachers at high school got me connected to the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard Academy. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, they paid for me, some friends from the Big Island paid for me to fly to New London, Connecticut, where the Coast Guard Academy is.
Mm-hmm.
And over the summer and go through 1 week of, they call it Project AIM, basically helping prospective students get a sense of what it would be like if you came here. Toughest week of my entire life, man, from getting up early and doing the run-in and the calisthenics and all. I mean, it was just hard work, but a beautiful wow. campus, wonderful opportunity for education. My plan was, I loved history. My dad was a history major before he became a park ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Loved government. I thought, you know, maybe I think I might want to be a lawyer. I kind of felt called to that when I was around eighth grade, and I just loved, you know, the way that the government worked and being able to help people. And so my plan was I was going to go to the Coast Guard Academy for college. I was going to study government. Then I was going to go to law school after that. I was going to mm-hmm. become a maritime lawyer for the Coast Guard,
mm-hmm.
serve however long I needed to serve to fulfill my obligation for getting the education.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would retire and become a private practice attorney.
Good plan.
Great plan. In fact, my grandma White, who came out to see me before graduation, she died shortly thereafter, but it was wonderful to have her come out. She said, you know, Jim, the world needs more Christian lawyers. So that was the plan.
Confirmation too,
that's
huh?
That's right. And the interesting thing about the Coast Guard Academy is it's the only service academy that does not go by congressional recommendation.
Hmm.
So it's basically all on your own merit about mm-hmm. your grades, your activities, letters of reference from teachers and people that know you. And in November, I actually received, in my senior year, I received a letter saying I had been granted access as one of the new cadets for the next class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they only have like 350 students in the entire country will become incoming freshmen for the academy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited. I mean, this was right along with the plan.
Yeah.
I also remember how difficult that 1 week was. And so I knew that God was going to have a really big part in my life. But not right now, not my senior year. I mean, I wasn't, you know, running away from God or anything, but I wasn't really spending a lot of time on my devotional and time with God. I was still active in church every week, but I knew that when I, you know, went to the other side of the country and I had to be there for 4 years by myself, difficult situations, then of course I would have to rely upon God. So I just sort of put it in cruise control my senior year in terms of my faith. Well, I found out in January that I had actually failed my medical exam. The last sort of benchmark in getting into the academy, I already been accepted. I failed my medical exam for one reason. Acne. I'm like, yeah, so wait, you're telling me because I have pimples, I can't go to college? Is that what you're saying? I can't become a Coast Guard officer? And all of the service academies actually go through the same medical exam review board. And so I had to come over to Tripler and do that from the Big Island. And evidently somewhere down in the past, someone had gone through that, had been admitted to a service academy, and then when they graduated, had such bad acne on their chest or back, could not wear backpacks, couldn't wear scuba gear, and basically got a medical discharge, free four-year education, and then said, you know what, I'm not going to serve. I have this condition. Thank you very much. And so the Department of Defense wrote in this sort of, you know, line, if the medical examiner determines that it's excessive acne on the chest or back, then that will be grounds for dismissal. But this was still January. I wasn't supposed to be in Connecticut until June. And everybody we talked to said, this is just ridiculous. It's crazy. Well, my parents took me to a dermatologist. I started taking this very strong medicine called Accutane. This was back in January of 1986.
Yeah.
And within 3 months, it was gone, cleared up. Well, at that same time is when I also started dating Jody McCollum, who would eventually become my wife. And we had to, at my high school, we had to pick our prom date for an April prom in January.
Wow.
That's like 4 months. And for like a senior, a high school guy, I'm trying to think, who's still going to be my friend in 4 months? You know, let alone who am I going to want to have this wonderful evening with? So I had this whole list of all the people that I might want to, and eventually the only person I asked was Jody. I'd never gone out with her. She was fun. She was in some of my classes. I knew she was a strong Christian. So we started, you know, going out. Since we're going to the prom now, you want to, you know, go out on dates and things. And soon, within about a month, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And her family came from the New Hope Christian Fellowship background. In fact, Pastor Wayne was their pastor when we were in high school. And so we would go on Sunday mornings. We would go to the New Hope service at the YWCA and at 8 o'clock, and then we would go to the United Methodist service at 10:30. So neither parent thought their son or daughter was being led to the dark side, you know, by the other. And we had these wonderful conversations about God and faith, and you know, what's with this raising your hands in church? I don't get that. And we each sort of sharpened each other in terms of what it is we believe and why we believe that. And I really feel like that was God's way of saying, you know, you're gonna have to deal with your relationship with me sooner than later. You can't just put it off. And so we're talking about this. Meanwhile, the Accutane is doing this great job. And I finished my medication, took it all the way to the end, go back this is now at the end of May, go back to Tripler, go through the exam again. The doctor goes, oh, it looks great. It's wonderful. When did you finish your medication? I said, oh, just past Monday. Oh, you know, we need to see you 1 month after because some people it could come back. And I'm like, you didn't tell me this. I mean, I've been clear for like 2 months already. I just, you know how the doctors say, just finish all your medication.
Right.
And so then we're in this we're now 2 weeks away from graduation, 3 weeks away from when I'm supposed to be in Connecticut. All these appeals, bottom line, 3 days after graduation, I get a letter from the Coast Guard saying, we're sorry, you will not be able to come in for this incoming freshman class year. And I was devastated because my whole future planned and mapped out. And so then it was just like, well, what now? What now? And I really think that if it hadn't been for my relationship with Jody and the opportunity to strengthen my faith, then I wouldn't have been able to hear God calling me into the ministry, which happened that summer.
you said something a moment ago. What now?
Mm.
You know, people go through what now moments on an ongoing basis. We could rest assured, Pastor Jim, that at this very moment, someone is listening and they're in a place in their life and they're saying, God, what now? What now? Well, when we come back, I'd like for you to share more about how God answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had it all set up. It was a great plan.
It was a great plan.
And all of a sudden, well, maybe not all of a sudden, over a course of time, but then the finality of it comes with this letter.
Yeah.
And you're saying, what now? Perhaps today, you're asking that same question. As you listen to this program, you're thinking, God, do you have an answer for me? Perhaps the Lord has something for you through the testimony of Pastor Jim White and the influence of his wife. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Jim White. He's a senior pastor at Aiea United Methodist Church, one of the historic churches here in the islands. Pastor Jim, before our break, was telling us about a detour, a major, major detour. In you talk about throwing a monkey wrench in his plans. This was a big one. The question was, okay, what now? What now?
Yeah.
Pastor, tell us.
And that was my question all summer, that summer. You know, I already graduated. Everyone else knew where they were going. The only other place I'd applied was the University of Hawaii, and that was a backup, but I knew I didn't need it because I'd been accepted back in November of my senior year to the Coast Guard Academy. But I had also signed up to be a part of a work camp that the United Methodist Church was doing on the island of Molokai down at Kalaupapa. Mm. And it was a week where we got to go and spend half the day spending time getting to know some of the patients that still live there, helping out in whatever ways if they needed some little repairs done around the house. And then the second half of the day, we got to spend learning the history there with Father Damien and then getting to explore the island, and it was wonderful. And I remember sitting on the pier one day during that week and just staring off into the water, you know, with the sun reflecting and all that. And that was the question: what now? Hmm. What now? I had no clue where I was going, and I heard within my head. I mean, people talk about God speaking to them all the time. I never really hear God's voice. This was the closest that I've ever had to an audible voice. And it more was a question that I started thinking that I'd never thought before. And that was, what about the ministry? What about the ministry? That I couldn't stop thinking that question. Mm. And it kind of bothered me because I didn't really want to become a pastor. That was never in any of my plans or even dreams about what I could be or what I wanted to do. And so I talked to the pastor that was leading the camp, Reverend Alan Mark, and he said, well, just keep listening. And if it's God, then you'll know. In time, God will confirm that for you. And so I didn't tell anybody, until my parents or anything, and I just kept thinking about what does that mean? Consider the ministry. And by the time Christmas rolled around, I was already into my, you know, finishing my first semester at the University of Hawaii. I was involved in the United Methodist Campus Ministry there, the Wesley Foundation, and had a wonderful group of classmates and colleagues that you can talk about faith-related things with. And by Christmas, I felt, you know what, I think it is God calling me into the ministry. And so I told my parents that I still was thinking about that I might want to reapply for the Coast Guard Academy to start, you know, which would have been my sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. And I could have done that. And my credits wouldn't have transferred, but I could have opted out of many of the basic requirements. But, you know, my parents asked me, have you turned in your application for the academy yet? And I said, well, I filled it out, but, you know, I think maybe God's calling me to ministry. And my parents, that was the Kodak tear running down their eyes moments. And my dad said, you know, we've always thought you would make a wonderful pastor, but we never wanted to push you there. Mm. And so for the next 3 years while I was in college, I had a wonderful campus minister, Reverend Gaius Theed, who's since finished his course in faith. But he encouraged me to take all kinds of just, you know, variety of classes. You don't have to be a religion major. When you go to grad school, you'll get all of your theological and biblical studies and all of that. So I became a theater major at the University of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. Had a great time. Wow. Took all kinds of different classes. Got to experience a bunch of things. Went and performed in Japan even before I graduated. And then God blessed me with a full scholarship to seminary and a living, $1,000 a semester living stipend. Wow. And everything just sort of fell into place. And then I was privileged to be able to come back and serve United Methodist Churches here in Hawaii.
You know, what seems to be a moment of dislodge in the what now moment was really a process of realignment into God's destiny. Something that God had planned for you long ago, and now you're walking in it. And how, when you went in that direction, man, things really began to flow in every way. And I just think, Pastor Jim, wouldn't that be an encouragement for someone to be thinking, man, I'm dislodged right now, and I'm asking the question, what now?
Yeah,
your story says something.
You know, when I was in seminary, I remember we had to take all these different theology classes, and there was this one idea that I remember my professor throwing out, and she called it the divine lure. Hmm. And I, she said, you know, we always, no matter where we are in life, we have a variety of choices and opportunities and options that we can take, ways, things we can do, or you know, with any big decision or even just in life. And let's say you have, maybe there's seven different choices that you could do, right? Well, God is always trying to lure you towards the one that he knows is best. So maybe that's option three, right? Mm-hmm. But of course, we have free will. So we can choose whatever option we want. We can choose 1, 2, 5, 7. And even if we make the choice that's not what God knows is best for us, then suddenly we're now in a new place that has seven more options. And God said, all right, so here we are together now. We're not going to talk about you missing the option I had for you. Now you've got seven new ones. It's option four now. Where you are in your life, this is where I want you to go. And we can choose to go with that or go against it, but God will never stop giving us options. And so eventually we may get back to that original option too, but it may take many more years to get to that point. But God will never, ever give up on us and will always, no matter where we are, be giving us a best choice out of or through whatever difficulty we're going through.
Pastor, that's a great reminder that I certainly need to hear. It's an encouragement to me. And you know, your theater background certainly has made for some really good preaching. I've heard you preach before, and I'm one of the most dynamic preachers. You know, let's give a shout out. Behind every good man is a great woman. And God has blessed you with a dear wife.
My wife, Jody, says I use my theater background every week. But yeah, she, from even the very beginning when we started dating in high school, how important it was to be talking about faith-related things. And of course, we have two wonderful children, Ezra and Emily, and she really is a partner with me in ministry. And so much of who I am now as a pastor is because of our relationship together as a couple.
Pastor Jim, thank you so much. And I thank Jody for being such a great wife to a good man. Good man. In the next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories like Pastor Jim and others. Invite someone to listen in. They'll be inspired. Matthew 18:3. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.